Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's kind of a cold and rainy day here, so I just heated up some tea. And I was thinking about, as I did that, it's the tea, when you heat it up in the microwave, it's never as good as when you get it straight from the pot. I don't know why. Some scientists could probably explain to me why, but it feels like it loses heat much faster and it doesn't taste as good. I don't know.
Well, I think part of it is that when you heat it up in the microwave, you don't actually heat it back up to how hot it was when it came right out of the pot.
I think that's part of it. It also just tastes, to me, it just tastes hot. Like, I get, like, the hot taste. It's just, I don't get as much flavor. I don't know. It's something.
No, you're
something
not wrong.
Changes.
You're not wrong. I mean, that's one of the things I like. One of the features I like in the Tea Robot. This is the Tea Robot podcast,
same,
by the way, is that it will keep the tea. You know, and again, it's heating it too, but it sort of tries to keep it up at the hot temperature for an hour.
Right, and there's an optimal, like, part of it helps too that, like, there's a larger volume of tea in there.
Yeah.
So it stays hot longer. So even after the hour wears off, I find, like, you know, 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes later, it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, half an hour goes by, and it's like, nah, it needs a little zap. And it's fine. It gets the job done, but it's not the same experience.
So I also just had microwaved warmed up tea. not a cold rainy day here though. It's actually beautiful. We have gotten a couple of spectacular
birds
days.
Chirping in the background. I don't need this kind of idyllic stuff right now.
Yeah, I have the window open.
We're not there yet.
It is really nice. And that was perfect because the platonic ideal, when I think about writing on my iPad in laptop configuration, which I needed to do this week because I got a Magic Keyboard and was writing my review, which posted this morning, the platonic ideal is always, I want to use this sitting in a chair under the redwood tree on the grass in my backyard. And you know, I'm not going to do that when it's 60 degrees, right? That's not going to happen. But yesterday, it was 83 degrees at the high.
Jeez. I cannot even conceive of that temperature right now.
I was out there all day, and it was a slow build. So I actually had to wear a sweatshirt and sit in the sun for part of it because it was actually kind of chilly. It was in the upper 60s, but it did. It just kept building throughout the afternoon. And but nobody wants to talk about the weather. But my point is, I got to do that. So I spent all day yesterday writing the Magic Keyboard review in the proper place, right? I could have sat on the bed or sat on the couch or something like that and done it, but like the perfect place to use that product is where I got to use that product. So that was pretty nice. That was pretty nice.
Very nice.
It was a lot of writing. It actually reminded me of back in the Macworld days where I would have to like take a day at home and just write a product review or something like that. And, like, it was like the super intense kind of focus kind of day. And it was like that because basically that's what it was. I basically just wrote all day.
And I've been sitting here this morning, and one of the things I did this morning at my desk in the cold and rainy weather was write my review of the Logitech keyboard case, which I will finish editing and post probably later this afternoon.
And you have
a nice counterpoint.
You have the 10.5 iPad Pro?
I have the 10.5 iPad Pro from 2017. So there's a case that works with that and the third generation Air, I think, which is the current iPad Air.
Right.
And then there's a separate case that works with the current iPad, the seventh generation just iPad.
Right.
But it's basically the same thing because that one's a 10.2.
Something like that, yeah.
We were talking about this on the Rebound this week, but like it's kind of bananas that they have a 10.2 and a 10.5. It's just because I assume they're using different panels slightly or whatever, like cheaper panels maybe in the other one, but like it is confusing as hell that there's a 10.2 and a 10.5.
Yeah, the existence of the iPad Air and the iPad is a little bit weird. It's the iPad is 10.2 and the iPad Air is 10.5. I kind of think the iPad exists so that they can have it be as cheap as possible.
Yep.
It's their 100%. cheap, right? Because that's the $250 at Costco. I mean, it's $329, right, but it's $250 at Costco.
That's exactly what Lex said.
Exactly. but the iPad Air, I kind of feel like the iPad Air is what they want the iPad to be, but it's just got too much. It's got too much stuff in it, so they're going to keep them both around. But you know, why not? Right? They've got this spread of products that with the Mini, the iPad, the Air, and then the Pros.
It's funny that you mention that because I wrote a piece this week for Macworld in which I pointed out that that's something the iPad lineup has that the Mac lineup does not.
It's true.
Because the entry level for the Mac lineup is about $1,000.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a bummer if we're getting to a place where essentially, you know, hey, it's like, hey, it's all about your preference, right? Like, if you want to work an iPad, like, go ahead and work on an iPad. If you want to work on a Mac, go ahead and work on a Mac. You can do most of what you're trying to do on either one. It's just your preference. Except if you want a Mac, it starts at $1,000.
Yeah, and if you want to use the base iPad with the smart keyboard, $488.
Right. Yeah. So that's a lot.
Right. I mean, so yeah. it's essentially Apple's value notebook is the 10.2-inch iPad with a smart keyboard.
Right, right. And it's like, I would love to see a cheaper, lighter Mac that maybe comes in more around like the $700 range or something.
Yeah, they have not made a laptop that cheap ever, right?
Yeah, they've gone down to $899, I want to say, at one point with when the old MacBook Air was floating around.
I'm not even sure that was a real price and not an education price, but you're right. Maybe that with the 11 got down to $899 before they cut it, but it was a very decrepit old product at that point.
It was, only very briefly. Like, usually they're hitting that, if we're lucky, they hit that $1,000 point.
But, the cheapest Mac ever is the $499 Mac Mini, which they one year later took to $599.
Because you can't deliver it. But, like, you know, part of me wonders, and this was kind of where my piece goes, is like, well, if you're building your own chips and you're you know, designing for something that's lightweight and low power, maybe you can offer a cheaper laptop. That's an option now.
I mean, that's the flip side of the iPad Pro 12.9
exactly
with Magic Keyboard, where you put that together and it costs what a 13-inch MacBook Pro costs.
Right. And in fact, I was curious, so I spec'd it out. Like, if you go top of the line, like with everything on a 12.9-inch Pro and add the Magic Keyboard.
Yeah, with terabyte storage and cellular.
It's about $2,000, like all in, which is cheaper than a MacBook Pro, but like
here's the funny thing. I think that if you're an iPad primary user, that's fine. Like, that's a really great iPad. But the flip side of that is, but what about people who want a Mac and want to... There's no cheap Mac, right?
Right.
There's the Air, and they've really struggled for the last few years to get a Retina MacBook under
$1,000.
Or at $1,000, but, you know, sliding under there with a piece of paper between it and $1,000. So that is a challenge, and I do wonder about that with ARM.
I would just
gives them the opportunity to do a cheaper SKU. Some of it is their standards. I hate to say it. I'm not defending them and saying, well, Apple just has higher standards. But like, Microsoft did a Surface that they got cheap. I mean, not really cheap. It was still like $999. But they got, when Apple was struggling to get under $1,000, Microsoft got under $1,000. They did it with a product that was so lightly configured that everybody who's an expert at, you know, Windows laptops was like, you can't buy this one. You can't.
Exactly.
It's
not. That's the thing. That's the $500 Mini again, right?
Right.
Like, it's essentially, but, to me, it's the, I just want, I don't think it's never going to be that you're going to see a Mac that's like a $500, $400, like a Chromebook, right? Like, that's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But there's still potentially a little room to play with under there for something that's lighter. I mean, it's kind of what the 12-inch MacBook was always supposed to be, except it was ridiculously expensive.
Let me tell you about the $499 Mac Mini, because I was just working on a piece about this.
Was that Core Solo?
It was a G4.
That's right.
And smart people will realize that I am working on a project behind the scenes that none of these articles that I'm writing anybody has seen yet, because I'm working on something. But you'll see it eventually, hopefully, if I write more of them. But the Mini was $499. It had 256 megs of RAM, which at the time, everybody was like, no, that's unacceptable. That's ridiculous, right? But it's even funnier. If you want a decent amount of RAM, it was 75 or 425 were your upgrade choices there. So you could spend a little bit more money or a lot more money. The hard drive was really small.
Yeah.
And slow. So if you want a bigger hard drive, that was an extra 50. But the ones that really made me laugh when I was looking back is also, if you would like Bluetooth, That's $50.
Oh my God.
And if you would like Wi-Fi, that's $79. So that $499 Mac Mini had no wireless networking, not really enough RAM, and a teeny tiny slow hard drive. So that's how they made that $499. And I think it's telling that based on feedback and all of that, when they did the next one the next year, it was $599 and it was better spec. Right.
Yeah, I mean, that whole, the Mini, it's sort of raison d'etre was like, essentially, let's capture the PC market who already has a keyboard, a monitor, and a mouse, and like literally just sell them a box they can plug all those things into, and let's hit that $500 point because it looks good, right? Like, that's a good number for us to hit.
Right.
It looks competitive. But the answer is, that computer is not very usable.
Cat's not meowing.
And there's
again.
Nothing wrong
the
with
cat's
the Mini.
Here.
I've yeah. Hello.
She can't hear you.
Yeah, I've owned two Minis in my lifetime, both of which I liked, although they both died in unfortunate ways. Yeah, I don't know. It's good. I want this is the thing, is like, as I've mentioned before, I was poised to buy that new MacBook Air when they revamped it, and then because we are all in quarantine, there's no reason to replace my laptop. So
right.
Now I'm like, well, I wait a little bit long. Like, who knows when we get out of this? I certainly won't need a new laptop before then. And depending on how long I have to wait after that, maybe I wait to see at least what an ARM MacBook looks like.
And I was going to say, even if some things release, are you going to be sitting for an extended period of time at a cafe?
Right.
Anytime
sure.
soon?
Probably not anytime soon. And I have an iPad with a keyboard, and it's like I had been doing more and more workout with that anyways. So who knows? Maybe by the time it comes out, I'll be like, nah, I'll just buy a new iPad Pro with a Magic Keyboard at this point.
So tell me about the Logitech thing. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so it's funny because I've been writing this as I've been reading all the Magic Keyboard reviews. And what that does is put into stark relief just I'll spoil the headline for anybody because I think, you'll enjoy it. But essentially, it's this is the not so magic keyboard.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And none of that is to say that this is a bad product. But when you compare it to the Magic Keyboard, it's clear where the shortcomings are. Because, first of all, Logitech already made a product that was very much like this. It just didn't have a trackpad on it.
Yeah,
and so
exactly.
They essentially were like, let's just put a trackpad in. Uh-huh. And my assessment is that the keyboard and the trackpad part of it are actually quite good.
Hmm.
Logitech makes good keyboards, I think. This is fine. It's probably a little more plasticky than some people would like. It's got some smaller keys because, it's fitting on a 10.5-inch instead of a 11 or 12.9-inch. But the feel of the keys is fine. It's got good travel. Like, I found no problem typing in it whatsoever. I mean, I'm used to using the Smart Keyboard cover, and it's, a different type of keyboard from that. But I found the experience roughly equivalent to me. Like,
okay.
I could get a job done. No problem. The trackpad, pretty good. It supports all the multi-touch gestures. It's, it's cheaper than the Magic Keyboard one, right? So it's going to feel a little cheaper. But, like, it's clicky. It's one of the ones where it's like you really have to click on the bottom. But, like, it's got a nice, satisfying click on it. Like, you're not going to accidentally click it or be curious, oh, no, did I click it or not? No, it's a very clicky trackpad. All the multi-touch gestures I use work great. Two-finger scrolling, it's all very smooth. Like, it sounds basically like the opposite of your experience with the Bridge, which is they could not get it to work in a way that you would expect it to. This works exactly as you would expect it to. I had zero complaints about the trackpad. All of my complaints are really about the construction of this as a case.
As a case. That's always what it is. And that's what I felt about those Logitech cases ever since. They did one really good one, but that was sort of low key. And I forget whether it was for maybe the 9.7. But like over time, they're just big plastic chunks.
That's what it is. It feels like they were like, people love the Panasonic Toughbook. Like, let's make a keyboard case that feels like you're doing that. It's freaking heavy. I weighed it on my kitchen scale, and with the iPad in it, scrolling through to see if I can find my my numbers here.
Oh yes.
With it in it, it weighs 2.5 pounds. And it's like, that's a lot. Like, it's more than my 11-inch Air. It's not as much as, probably even the Magic Keyboard, I think, it's a bigger iPad, too,
though. Yeah, the 11-inch with the Magic Keyboard is lighter than that.
Okay. Yeah. So, and here's the thing. And this is the thing that I think, you know, this is the thing you have been pointing out in a lot of places. That's not that much more than a laptop. Agreed. Right. And the benefit, of course, is you can take the iPad off and take it with you.
Exactly.
However, on the Logitech case, because you have to be snapped into that back case, when you take the keyboard off, you take the case with you. It's still really freaking heavy at that point because the case is so bulky.
I this is what always gets me about these products, and I know there are people out there who like this because I know there are people out there who always want to have their iPad in a case and because they want to protect it because they're concerned about it. I am not one of those people. Like,
no,
I usually, my default when I'm at home with my iPad Pro is I have one of those Apple smart folios. So it's literally just a little, it's basically like the old smart cover, except there's a magnetic back to it now because that's how they attach. That's it. It's not, you know, going to give me serious drop protection or something, but it is super light.
Same. I use the smart keyboard cover and it's like there's nothing on the back, but it's so light. And there's a keyboard on it.
And there's a keyboard,
which
is
kind of amazing.
It's, I mean, it's a lot heavier than it is without that keyboard there. But it's not the same.
It's way lighter without than the Logitech case is. So, I mean, you know, it's this thing. It has a kickstand. I know you hate kickstands. I agree.
Oh.
I think the biggest problem with the kickstand in this case for me is with the smart keyboard cover on, I often have my iPad sitting next to me on the desk. It sits next to, like, the trackpad for my iMac, and I will use it. Like, not as a second screen in the sidecar sense, but as a second screen for doing other things. So frequently, for example, when we're running TPK games over on The Incomparable, I will have either my D&D Beyond sheet up over there, or I will have, like, if I'm streaming the game, I will have the YouTube stream open over there so I can glance over and make sure things look okay or respond to the chat or whatever without messing with my iMac where all the hard work's going on. And I can fit it perfectly fine with a smart keyboard. But the footprint is so much larger with the kickstand because it has to extend all the way out past. And the trackpad adds stuff in front.
Yes.
So it's it's the worst.
The depth is huge. And then the other reason that I hate kickstands, and I've heard people say, oh, no, but kickstand's really nice. It's like, I will grant you. And I have a Surface Mini. I've used it this way. Like, having a thing where it's like, oh, I just need to see the screen on this thing and just on the table, and you just pop out the kickstand and you just lay it there. It's like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. And it's a touch screen. So, like, if you need to navigate a little bit, you don't even need a keyboard in front of it. You can rip the keyboard off. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
My problem with it is, as I mentioned earlier about sitting in my backyard, I like using a laptop in my lap like a laptop is supposed to be used, and a kickstand just, it doesn't work that way. You get a, it's unstable, you get a line on your legs, it's kind of uncomfortable, and it makes it super awkward because the further back it is, you're like, how do I fit all of these things between, you know, like it's between my stomach and my knees, right? Like,
I tried using it for a little while, and I agree with everything you just said. It's a inferior experience. And more to the point on this one, and I haven't tracked this down yet. This is one of, I've encountered two bugs, flaws. I don't know. I ran into a problem where the first day I was using this, I was trying to use it on my lap, and you're kind of at an awkward angle and all this. And because of the way it attaches, because on this version of the iPad, the smart connector is on the edge, right? Instead of the back, like it is with the new Pros. I felt like it was just at an angle where the leverage was such that it was maybe losing connection every once in a while.
Hmm.
And so I'd be typing, and then all of a sudden I'd see the keyboard, like the backlighting, like go dark. And I'd be like, what? It'd be like a split second, and then it would come back. And I was like, that was weird. I have noticed this a little bit, even when I have it on the desk, which makes me wonder, you know, maybe the contacts on the smart connector are dirty, or maybe there's something, some bug here I'm not figuring out. It's very intermittent, and like I said, it's like a split second. I don't know what's going on with that, but it definitely happened more while I was using it in my lap, which made me think that there's something about that angle is poorly suited to the way it's connected. So that was one fun thing. The other fun thing, which I documented on Twitter, was when I was using it for like an afternoon, I was like, oh, this is fine. And later that night I pulled it out and I was typing a message to our friend Tony Sindelar, and I literally tried to type something about D&D, right? Use it because we talk to him about D&D a lot.
We do.
And I went to type the ampersand. Nothing happened. I was like,
oh, no. Oh,
what's happening? Is this key dead? And so I kept hitting it. I was like, it's not working. But what was weird is the 7, which the ampersand is on, worked fine. It's like, well, that's weird. And so I then went and, like, you know, ran my finger along the key, all the keys, to see what happened. And I found like two or three other cases where it's like, this key works when I hit shift, but not when I don't hit shift, or vice versa.
Huh.
I was like, this is really bizarre. And I found one key that didn't work at all. And I started like tweeting about it and got some suggestions. Somebody suggested doing the like resetting all the modifier keys. And I was like, well, I only changed one thing. I'll try it. Didn't really work.
I was thinking somebody, it's maybe in the wrong layout.
It's in the wrong layout.
Yeah.
But the problem was it's selected. It just says automatic. So it's something, there is a bug in either the keyboard firmware or in iOS. And I've heard from other people who have seen this with other keyboards, which makes me wonder if there's something in iOS that's happening. It says automatic and it says English US, but it is not on English US. So if you manually choose English US, it works fine, right?
Interesting.
Like, I knew it wasn't a mechanical issue because the key would work.
You were typing in some other language.
Yeah.
Didn't even know.
So I was probably like the UK or Canada layout or something, because like 90% of the keys were 100% fine, like totally fine. Did not really. And I didn't notice
90%
it.
Is 90%.
It's not, interesting. Yeah, so it worked most of the time, but like I didn't really notice it until later when I tried to hit the ampersand. I was like, what? This is weird. Every other key in this row works fine. So that was bizarre. Anyway, long story short, if you're looking to buy this, and this is what my review says, so spoiler alert on that. If you're looking to buy this, it's because you have an iPad that doesn't work with the Magic Keyboard, right? That's pretty much it. And in that sense, it's fine. It'll get the job done.
Like, there are better options that just don't have the trackpad. So you just got to really, really
want that trackpad. And yeah. I get it. Like, you know, the trackpad is cool, and this is one of the better ones. And if you were leaving your house, you wouldn't want to lug a Magic trackpad along with you, right? So like, it's fine. Yeah. But it's not as good, clearly. And I think the kind of the upshot here is, well, A, at least it's cheaper, right? It's only like $150, which is half the price of the cheaper, or $100 less than the cheaper Magic Keyboard. So, you know, it's cheaper in that regard. And it's cheaper than replacing your iPad with a new iPad and getting a Magic Keyboard, right? Like, that's considerably more expensive. Yeah. So if you're just looking for that experience, it's fine.
And we talk about cheap laptop, right? Well, this will work with the 7th gen iPad.
Mm-hmm.
So you snap it into this case, and you've got this, you know, ruggedized case a little bit with a kickstand, and you got
a
keyboard with
a
trackpad
or something,
and you got a laptop now. You got the cheap laptop with trackpad option.
Yeah,
here on Apple's product line.
Again, it's fine. It's not great. It's not going to blow you away. But like, if what you're looking for is a keyboard trackpad combo for your iPad, this will do that.
So I look at this and I think Apple says, well, we should really offer a trackpad option for our lower-end iPads, but they're going to require, because the smart connector is on the edge and not on the back, it's like, this is going to require...
There's no magnets for on the back.
You're going to have to snap around a case in order to get this to work, and that's kind of a... Let's just have Logitech do it.
Yeah, let's call Logitech and have them do it.
And they're like, all right, because they want to have it available, but they're like, nah, it's not going to be as awesome as the one we're working on.
I mean, so they did the exact same thing with the crayon, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's the same idea, right? Yeah. It's like, we want this option available, but we don't want to build it.
I like the crayon. I have one of those. It's really...
There's nothing wrong with
it. It's really nice.
Yeah.
It has an on-off switch. It's better to charge than the Pencil 1. It's orange. It's not as full featured and all that, but it's actually pretty cool.
Sure. I mean, like, again, you could give this keyboard case thing to a whole bunch of, you know, students.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
It'd be a very, very powerful device, like, just fine. I don't know. So that's my feeling on it, is like, it's not going to, if you really want is a Magic Keyboard, this isn't going to scratch your itch. But if what you want is a keyboard trackpad experience for your older iPad, this is probably the best of the options going right now.
Yeah.
Why did I write this whole review, Jason? I just summed it all.
No, but this is good. This is good. What you need to do is what I do, which is talk about the issues on a podcast and then write your story afterward, because you've already done all the work.
Yep.
So I wrote 3,000 words about the Magic Keyboard for the 12.9. I don't have the 11. I have the 11 iPad. I don't have the 11 smart keyboard. I actually have three 12.9 smart keyboards right now. That's a story. So I didn't get one from Apple. I wasn't on the kind of early drop for Apple. And I sent them a note and I said, then I ordered it. I was like, they announced it. I'm like, well, I'll order it, because if I don't get one from Apple, I need to get it from Apple. Apple PR, I need to get it from Apple Store, right?
So in exchange for money, yes.
I put in an order. Yes, I give my credit card, Apple Pay, of course, and put in my money in for that. And it says, well, okay, but since I woke up and it was announced early in the morning, and I'm getting up and see this thing, and I'm like, oh boy, I was back in the line. It said, well, we'll send it to you sometime between April 24th, which is today, and May 1st or something like that. And somebody in our member Slack said, Best Buy has them 2-day shipping. I said, oh, well. So I ordered one from Best Buy. Figured, you know, I'll return the one from Apple, get the one Best Buy sooner. Because again, it's in the interest of writing about it as soon as I can. At which point, no sooner do I order it from Best Buy than I get an email. Not from the last I heard from my PR contact at Apple was, well, you know, if I let them know, I said, well, I have ordered one, but it says it's not coming until maybe next week. So if you guys can get me one sooner, that would be awesome. But otherwise, I'll just get the one that I bought from the store. So like seeing if I can get a PR one faster, because they presumably have magic access to more magic keyboards.
Ooh, very magic.
It's 90% of magic is 100% of magic.
It's a magic kingdom down there.
So, of course, what happens is the moment that I buy the Best Buy one, I get an email, not from my PR contact at Apple saying, oh, we'll work on it, or we can't work on it, or whatever, but they don't say anything. But I get a very nice email from Carrie, the nice lady who does editorial loans. It's the review product program, saying, you'll get one tomorrow. So now I have three magic keyboards coming, and they're all here now. So I gotta return a couple of them.
No, just leave one in every room, Jason. That way you just can plop your iPad down when you walk in.
It is so rigid that it is kind of like a case or like a stand. It's like a stand. You can just leave it with all of its things all set up like it's this little stand. It's kind of funny. Anyway, best part, then I get an email from Carrie the next day who says, just confirming that it was delivered because UPS says it was delivered. It was not delivered. So I said, I don't have it. And she says, well, can you look around? Because they're under a lot of stress right now, and they got a lot of extra drivers, and there's a lot of stuff going on, and sometimes they may have misdelivered it to a neighbor or something like that. And I thought, all right. I go across the street, and there's like a HelloFresh box, and we get one of those too. I'm like, oh, okay. But I feel bad because I don't want to be a porch pirate. I don't want to be like, why are you looking at my porch? It's like, well, I'm looking for a misdelivered package. But I don't see it. I look at a couple other neighbors' houses, nothing. And I think to myself, oh, you know, here's a funny thing. So my name is Snell. The next street over is Shell. And I will tell you, our stuff gets delivered to them and their stuff gets delivered to us all the time. And I've talked to that lady before. They have a beehive in their backyard. I bought honey from her. Very nice. And she's like, can I help you? I said, well, this is going to be weird, but did you get a misdelivered package? And it turns out they didn't, but they do have honey. So I got to go back over there and buy some honey. I come home and I think, like, man, what if they, and I think I'm going to check over across the street again, just in case, because where they have the HelloFresh. So I look at that, like, did I look more, should I look again, like more carefully? And I look and it turns out, yes, there's a big HelloFresh box on their welcome mat, but behind the little tree, little plant that they've got, to the left of their doorway, hidden behind it, is my box. So victory is mine. I come back.
So you grab
to send,
that. You scamper back across the street.
Yeah, I come back.
Yeah.
I come back to. Yeah, no, not a porch pirate. This is mine. This is mine. I walk in the door. I email Carrie and I say I got it. It's fine. And I tell the story to Lauren and I say, oh ha ha ha. It was across the street there, you know, I was distracted by their HelloFresh box. And she says, well, you know, today's our HelloFresh day. And I said, oh, and yeah, that was also ours. They just delivered all of the things to the wrong head, but it didn't even occur to me that that could also be our HelloFresh box. Cause I was so focused on the Apple.
Yep.
Anyway, I know that's what people tuned into this podcast for, is the story of how I got my magic keyboard.
That does happen.
One of the three, the other two just came to my door and were delivered properly the next day.
Sometimes they deliver stuff to the next street over to the number of my house. And I always find that funny because those streets have our street, and the next street over have names that are nothing alike. But it's always, always without fail, something very heavy. The two times this has happened, once it was my standing desk, which weighs like 100 pounds. And once it was a safe.
Wow.
Like a fireproof lockbox. And I had to drive over both times the next block and just be like, all right, maneuver it down the stairs, throw it in the trunk, drive back around the street. And it's like, again, I've dealt with the person who lives there a couple times because they call me or like come by the house, and they come by the house and they're like, hey,
we got a heavy thing for you.
You got a package. I'm not moving it. It's like, all right, fair enough.
It would be worse if that street was named like Morgan
Yeah, no, that would be bad. That would be bad. They get a lot more of it. As it is, they can't
seriously
figure out which mailbox on my front porch. Like, there are three mailboxes in the porches. They all have names on them. They routinely just stick all of the people's mail in one of the boxes. It's like, we don't even live in the same unit.
Well, they're under a lot of stress right now, but yeah, you're right.
That was even before.
Yeah, oh, I know. I know it was. Of course it was. I'm just saying. Anyway, the Magic Keyboard's really good. It's really good. Mm-hmm. And as I said in my review, which you can read all 3,000 words that were written under my redwood tree in my backyard yesterday, the thing that I that struck me immediately about it is that we made such a big deal about, like, the cantilever and the it floats above the keyboard and all of that. But seriously, it's just a laptop. Like, they did it in a clever way that's not laptop-like, although I do have this thought in the back of my head, which is, are we going to start seeing laptops that do this? Like, the difference is that you've got to have the laptop screen as a solid unit and then the laptop pivot as a not solid unit, whereas usually in a laptop, right, the screen is just all one unit because it makes more sense that way. But it's very clever the way that they did it. It gets the iPad closer to your face, closer to your hand to touch it, which is actually really nice, right? You don't have to reach as far if you want to touch the screen. It gets the center of gravity forward so it doesn't tip over backward. But when you're using it, it's just a laptop. Like, right, you don't even think about the fact that I mean, there's a border in your vision. There's a border from the bottom of the screen to the top of the top row on the keyboard, like there is on a laptop. The difference is that instead of it being at the hinge is hidden, and it's a little bit forward of that. But, like, in practice, it feels just like a laptop. And since you don't use it from the side, and also when you open it, people talk about how there are these two hinges, right? But when you open it, don't let that get in your head. Don't even think about it. Like, just open it. And if you open it, it just kind of goes pop, pop, both of the, like, magnitude. Sorry, I'm watching Community on Netflix right now. it just opens up all the way. And when you close it, it just closes down. Like, it's smooth. You don't have to be like, okay, now I'm going to open the one part, and now that that's done, I'll reposition and I'll open the other part, and now it's working. And then when you close it, it's like, okay, I'm going to reverse that process. One, and then two, and now it's closed. You don't. You just go, here, I'll do it. That's it. Pop, pop.
Pop, pop.
So that's what I'm saying. So that actually is one of the things that really struck me about it is, don't overthink it. It makes your iPad into a laptop. That's what it does. Like, it's not a weird part laptop, part floating desktop.
Half laptop, half floating desktop.
90% laptop, 100% computer. I don't know. It is. I'm just going to keep going back there now. And it's great. I mean, it's a nice keyboard. It is in the vein of the like, my go-to is the 11-inch MacBook Air that I loved for writing for so long. And having the physical keys is really nice. They feel really good. The trackpad is nice. It's not enormous, but it doesn't need to be. And it does all the iOS gestures, which is one of those things that – or iPadOS gestures. You know, if Apple was making a keyboard that had a trackpad that could only do three-finger gestures – do you think they'd put four-finger gestures into iPad OS? No, they would not. Right? So it does everything the OS does.
Right.
Not a coincidence. But it's good. And I found myself going back and forth between touch and the trackpad. There are certain ergonomic kind of circumstances where I'm really focused on the keyboard and I just need to move something a little bit, where I'll just reach the screen and I'll go zip and move it. And then there are other things where I'm kind of like leaning back and I'm reading something and I'm just two fingers scrolling because that's a kind of a nice gesture. And I'm doing that instead of reaching up and scrolling the screen. Like, it takes some getting used to, because as a Mac user, especially, you don't have to think about touch or trackpad, right?
Right, right.
It's one or the other. But with this product, you can choose. And it's like, it took me back to my days when I was using a Chromebook with a touch screen. And because we had one of those for a long time. Jamie used that for a long time. And I found myself touching the screen. I'm like, oh. Like, and it was one of those things where on a Mac, you do that and you're like, oh, it doesn't work. But on the Chromebook, it totally worked. I was like, oh, I just flipped this web page up a little bit. And on this iPad, you can do that. And it's fine. And it works great. And like, I mean, on one level, it's so normal. And we've also talked about, like, the ramifications of putting a cursor on iPadOS, right? We talked about that, like, a month ago or whatever, when that first happened. So we talked about that part of it. This is really, with that out of the way, you look at this and you're just like, yeah, it makes your iPad into a laptop, which is it. Yeah. And this is the part that I wrote a Macworld column about this week, which is, and then people are like, I can't believe that when you make an iPad into a laptop, it weighs what a laptop weighs. It's like, well, let me tell you, as somebody who's been using this Bridge keyboard for like 3 or 4 years, that's what happens.
Right.
A laptop weighs a certain, a 13-inch laptop is going to weigh 3 pounds. That's,
yeah. Because it's made that, out of matter, as it turns out.
That's how it works. It's not all neutrinos. That's how it works. Now, it does bring the kind of Mac chauvinists out of the woodwork who are like, well, the only reason they don't say it, but what they mean is the only reason to use an iPad is because it does something that the Mac doesn't do, like be lighter and not have a keyboard. But once you make it the same weight and it has a keyboard and a trackpad, it's just the same as the Mac. And since the iPad is clearly inferior to the Mac, why would you do that? They don't say it that way, but that's what they mean. That's what they mean. And my answer is, first off, it's not. Like, I actually do prefer the iPad for a bunch of things. I spent way too long this week trying to automate something on the Mac that I have automated on just using shortcuts on my iPad. And it was extremely hard and super hacky to do. I ended up doing it with Keyboard Maestro, and I kept thinking to myself, why isn't this easier on the Mac? It goes back and forth, but the killer feature is you just pick up the iPad and walk away, and it's not a laptop anymore. And that, you know, Apple really, this is why Apple didn't make that Logitech keyboard, right? It's like, that is not the case. But with this, it's just magnetically attached. You pick it up, that's it. It's over. Like,
I will say one advantage that the Logitech keyboard has over the Magic Keyboard is that it has function keys, which the Magic Keyboard does not.
Yes.
And you can adjust the backlighting from it, which you cannot do on the Magic Keyboard.
Oh, yeah. It's like four layers down to it. It's embarrassing. So here's my theory about that. Well, first off, the reason they don't have function keys is because although it looks like there's plenty of room back there, the iPad's really hovering over the number row. And if you were to put another row behind it, you'd have to be like lower your hands and slide them back underneath the iPad. Like, it would be bad. So this thing is balanced on the head of a pin. And I think that, like, if they can't push the keyboard down because then the trackpad gets even shorter, and the trackpad's pretty short already. They can't put the iPad back because then the weight will go back and it will tip over backward. So I think this thing is engineered precisely. Like, I almost put it in the review and then I took it out, but one of the things that I noticed when it's sitting in my lap is that it has this I was trying to explain, figure out how to explain it. It doesn't feel like it's gonna tip over backward. That's not it. But if you can imagine a flat surface of the bottom of a laptop, or in this case the Magic Keyboard, sitting on your lap as you're typing on it, imagine that you can feel that there's more weight on the back side than the front side. So it's almost like it's very subtly kind of rolling backward, not rolling over, tipping over, but just, I can tell that the force on the front of the keyboard, unless I'm setting my hands down on it and pushing it down, is less than on the back of the keyboard. So you can feel that it's weighted more toward the back than the front. And yet not so much that it feels like it's going to tip over. And I thought to myself, they positioned this thing at exactly the point at which it was stable enough to use in your lap without it being, and not making it tip overable. So, like, it feels like every corner of this thing feels like it is precisely, like, they did a lot of math, they did a lot of geometry, did a lot of physics, various vectors, and it just feels like this is exactly the shape it needs to be to do what they want it to do. The thing that I would suggest, and this won't be the first time we've talked about this, is that not having a function row is solved by software, and the software isn't there yet. And even when they did this release with the cursor, and they made the modifiable key function keys, right? The modifiable, like, modifier keys. For whatever reason, they didn't do they didn't do something else. Because, like, for example, you could make one of those modifiers a function modifier.
Yeah.
So that if you press that down and then press 1, it would do whatever F1 did or whatever brightness control or whatever.
I wrote a version of this in my Logitech thing because it's the same problem. Like, there's still stuff that you can do with a function key that doesn't work. So, like, on all of my Apple keyboards, I am hard-coded to do page up and page down by holding the function key and using the up and down arrow keys.
Oh, interesting.
That doesn't work. And if worst case, even worse, the place where the function key is on iPad keyboards is the stupid keyboard, like, switch.
It's the globe.
Yeah, and it's like, invariably, I hit that, and I'm like, and then the emoji pops up. And you can remap it now, but for a long time, it's like, no, stop!
No, and on the smart keyboard, it's really easy to press that. On this one, I remapped it to escape, even though you can mostly command period to escape. It's kind of nice to have it. But yeah, I would rather have that be modifiable. So I think the argument here is that system-wide keyboard shortcuts are complicated, and because you have to set up some rules about, like, overriding different apps, and are you going to, like, prevent apps from using certain keyboard shortcuts and all of that. And I get that there's maybe an issue there, and maybe this is an iOS 14 thing, but it does strike me as a software failing, as much as a hardware failing. Like, you don't really, because I don't think you need F keys per se, but you do. There are functions that we've gotten used to controlling from the keyboard that this keyboard doesn't do.
Right.
And yes, modifying your backlighting, your screen brightness, and doing media controls. And yeah, sure, a shortcut for page up and page down that's global. Like, there are things like that that you could do that they're kind of already conventions for, and that the OS supports. So that's the part that surprises me, is like, there's no way to assign a function key to one of those modifier keys. I'm not as surprised that there's no global hotkey mapping, you know, interface, because if that's going to come, it's probably an iOS 14 feature, and that's fine. But, like, in the meantime, it would be awfully nice if I could say, you know what, I'm going to give up that globe key, because there are keyboard shortcuts I can do for emoji picker and for escape, quite frankly. And instead, I want to choose to remap the globe key to function and be able to hit globe 1 to make my screen a little dimmer.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly. I would love to find... I've actually never found a page up, page down alternative. Like, home and end, you can do with command up arrow, command down arrow. That works. That's worked forever on the Mac. That will take you to the beginning or the end of a document. Works on the iPad, too, just fine. But I've never been able to figure out exactly what the page up, page down equivalent is, if there is one. Somebody will chime in now in the Slack and let me know what I've missed, but...
I don't know. I mean, I thought it was like command option or command.
Command option might work.
No,
shift highlights things.
Yeah, command shift, it just highlights from to the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. Not what you're looking for.
Yeah, at least in OneWriter, which is what I have open here.
Yeah. I guess spacebar sometimes does it. Like, if you're a web browser, spacebar does page down, but there's no page up. And I triggered Siri. She didn't like that on my Mac. I guess I hit a bunch of keys on my Mac. It's like, oh, Siri.
Anyway, it's great. It is expensive. But if you're buying an iPad Pro and a laptop, and this thing to make your iPad Pro and a laptop, like, this is an expensive product for people who really, really want an iPad laptop with a trackpad. And the smart keyboard is there, and third-party stuff is there. And if you're just using it at a desk, I don't recommend this, because ergonomically, you're way better off with a stand and a keyboard of your choice and a Magic trackpad. Like, and if you have some of those around already, you'll save money too. But, like, seriously, using a laptop on a table is not super ergonomic, and you could do better. And then you get to pick and choose your keyboard. So it is not for everybody. And if you don't need a trackpad, it's not that big a deal. Smart keyboard is a better choice. There are third-party keyboards out there as well, keyboard cases and things like that. There are plenty of options, and that's the way you have to view this, is that this is Apple's top of the line, cutting edge, first party, totally integrated, make your iPad into a laptop when you want, and it is priced accordingly, and it weighs accordingly, and it is what it is. But what it is exactly what I've been trying to get for the last, like, 3 or 4 years.
Well, so, congratulations. You win.
It's amazing. Seriously, it's a little surreal. It's like, am I really sitting out here in the backyard on a warm day typing on an iPad and using a trackpad, and it all just works? It's like, And again, it's not for everybody, but if you are like me and you want that experience, you can get it. And the other thing I will shout out to Apple again is, and I think there may be long-term reasons why they did this, but like, it's also really nice that you don't have to buy a new iPad to get this. That if you've got an iPad Pro from 2018, you're fine. Like that's they didn't have to do that. I think they, you know, chose to do that for good reason in not wanting to make multiple accessories and wanting to settle on like what the back of the iPad is going to look like of this size going forward. But that's great because you bought an iPad Pro 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. You don't have to buy another one. You just have to buy the case and then you're good to go. That's great.
Well, now that they've addressed that, I'm looking forward to my very light, portable, long battery life MacBook anytime.
Yeah, you'll get yours.
I better.
Eventually.
Shake my fist.
All right, well, keyboards, stories, you know, we did it all in this one.
Covered
I feel
it.
Like.
Soup to nuts.
Yeah, 90% of this podcast is 100%.
Oh, boy.
Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.